The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
The President of Israel has made a major statement on Israel standing for the rights of Christians.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Shalom, shalom. This is Michael Brown from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, coming your way live again today. We're audio only for those watching, as you've noticed, audio only yesterday and today. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, which means any Jewish-related question you have of any kind whatsoever, by all means, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. That is the number to call. And a little bit later in the broadcast, we will get to your calls. I want to give a personal invitation to those who have responded harshly to my strong rebuke and denunciation of the vile anti-Semitism of Nick Fuentes. And you've posted ugly things that did get taken down from our YouTube channel. We don't allow certain things that are going to be hate inciting, or if you are applauding threats to kill people, etc., that's going to get pulled from our channel, regardless of what side of the issue you're on. But call me. Tell me why you think I'm wrong. Tell me why you think that the proclamation of Christ as King and America First somehow justifies hatred of the Jews or wanting to remove Jews from power, or saying that in a holy war, we're going to triumph and they're going to die. Give me a call. Or if you're one of the many Hebrew Israelites that post on our YouTube channel warning me, white man, Esau, you're coming down, the awakening is here, your fate is sealed, enlighten us. Give me a call. Oh, yeah, I will plainly tell you why you're wrong. I will plainly tell you if you're misusing Scripture or misusing the Lord's name, plainly, politely. But I give you the opportunity to call. If you are a Jewish person and you're listening and you don't believe Jesus is the Messiah and you think I'm deceived in believing this, give me a call. 866-348-7884, or just anybody else, a fellow believer, and you got question about anything Jewish related, I love to take your questions and your calls. Okay, I do want to share with you a bit later in the show an extraordinary comment. It's typical of others, but an extraordinary comment upset with me for talking about a post-trib rapture, and it ties in with Early Jewish Thursday. It points to a larger deception in the body, especially in America. So I want to address that today and let you know about some of the posts that we've gotten from supporters of Nick Fuentes, who in the name of, quote, Christ is King, are supporting his holy war rhetoric, etc. So I'm going to share some of that with you. But here's where we're going to focus. We're going to focus on a major event that took place in Israel. Now, it's all over the news, not just Jewish news, Israeli news, but American news, world news, because of the significance of what happened and the public nature of it. And it's in harmony with a tweet earlier from Prime Minister Netanyahu some weeks back saying that America, Israel will never pass laws against the gospel of Christians, etc. So it's in harmony with that. But I found out about it first, before it was big public news, I found out about it first when someone I just met, actually Druze background, so Druze is related to Islam, but it's their own religion. It's very secretive. There's intermarrying within the community, meaning you marry fellow Druze. Exactly what they believe, some of the details are not widely known because it's been kept just, it's their thing. And Druze, probably the biggest Druze community in Israel, the one that I see when we go through their communities for our tours, when we do a tour of Israel, and we early on the tour go up on Mount Carmel in Haifa. Maybe it's in Haifa that there's the biggest community in Israel, but they're very loyal citizens. The men fight in the army, And if they live in Syria, they're loyal citizens to Syria. So they are loyal citizens in the countries where they are. They're an ancient community, 1,000-plus years old, I think, in the Middle East. So it was actually a new Druze acquaintance that I'd met that sent me this article talking about diversity in Israel and supporting religious freedoms in Israel. So here's the deal. Everywhere there are bad apples. Agreed? You have bad apples in the Catholic Church. You have bad apples in the Protestant Church. You have bad apples who are secular Jews. You have bad apples who are religious Jews. You have bad apples who are Muslims, who are Hindus. You have bad apples who are atheists, who are identified as LGBTQ. You have, every group has bad apples. And some ideologies and theologies encourage bad behavior and justify bad behavior, but we know it's everywhere. And when a certain group comes to power, more of the bad apples surface, because now they're empowered, now they could do what they want to do. So this is everywhere. And in Israel, from its founding, there was a view of religious tolerance. So on the one hand, Orthodox Jews were given power over certain religious things in the country. Certain civil things like marriage. It's like, okay, you run that and you oversee your own communities, and then the rest of the nation is going to run as it runs. For example, the biblical calendar is the calendar of Israel, and you know, if a hotel wants your approval, they have to get kosher certification if they serve meals and all of that. But otherwise, you know, a restaurant can serve what it wants to serve. If it's in Tel Aviv, it's a secular city, and wants to serve stuff that's not kosher, can do what it wants to do. So there was certain religious authority and then certain freedom for the whole nation. And what's happened now, as the country is going further and further to the right, and this is the most right-wing government under Prime Minister Netanyahu in the nation's history, and in that sense the most religious as well, that more conflicts are coming up. Along with that, more bad apples are surfacing. Now, there are two reasons. One reason is they're more. In other words, the Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox in particular are growing in numbers. So, and especially with young people, young men tend to fight more. Young men tend to be more rebellious. So you get bad apples with the young men, and now you have more of them, and now you have some of your people in power, like people like Ben-Gvir, that would be considered a bad apple by much of the society. I mean, we've addressed this before, but there was an ultra-Orthodox Jewish terrorist, a man involved in trying to kill other people in the name of religion, in the name of God, a Jewish terrorist. And Ben-Gvir was his defense attorney. Now he has a high position in the Netanyahu government. Okay, so that's why a lot of people are just fed up and upset, and the polarization is as deep as it is, all right? I'm sure Ben-Gvir has some good qualities as well, but the bad are pretty frightening. And some of his views would be ultra-nationalist and so on. His vision for Israel is not my vision for Israel, and it's not the vision of most people that I know in Israel. So that's the situation. So there have been, I'm just giving you the background, there have been more attacks on churches, you know, vandalizing, different things like that, threatening statements made by the ultra-Orthodox. Now, again, it's a fraction of the population, but they are bad apples, and they are representative of some of their community, and their actions are despicable. And of course, they hate people like me and despise people like me and would do what they could to stop people like me. And I have no doubt that some of them would be violent. If I was engaged in actively trying to reach Jewish people in a certain way, some of them would be violent, because there are bad apples. And as I said, there are bad apples everywhere in every group. But as you have more of them numerically, and as you have more in government power that either look the other way or share the ideology, or at least in the past shared the ideology, then you're going to have more open and overt acts. Now, the situation of Messianic Jews within the land is more complex and controversial. when you are an outward Christian. So, in other words, you're identifying as a Christian. You're not saying, Ani Yehudi Mishiachi, I'm a Messianic Jew, but Ani Nosri, I'm a Christian. And you are, say, part of the Catholic Church or the Greek Orthodox Church in Israel. Then from day one, that's been protected. That's been understood. There were less than probably 15 Messianic Jews that were known in Israel at the founding of the nation. That just was not an issue. So now, as they've grown in numbers to maybe as many as 30,000, and they've been involved in every area of society for years, and some of them have become well-known within the society. So the question of how you treat Messianic Jews, Messianic congregations, that's come up more and more. And your average Israeli is just going to be tolerant, whatever. Are they citizens? Yeah. Their kids fighting the IDF? Yeah. They're good people? Yeah. So who cares if they believe in Jesus or not? You know, that's not going to be the issue to your average Israeli. To the religious, it's a big issue. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm not talking about treatment of Messianic Jews. I'm talking about treatment of those who outwardly profess Christianity, so that you are known as a Christian. You're a Christian leader. You have a Catholic school. You have a monastery, etc. You have a traditional church. Israel has always been very clear, your rights being protected and the rights of Muslims being protected. You're a Muslim. You're not a terrorist out to hurt us or kill us. By all means, you have access to your places of worship. By all means, we will protect them from others. By all means, you have absolute freedom of religion here. So this, and you can proselytize, you know, that's not, as long as it's not to minors, right? So that is how Israel exists, and it has, but now the acts of violence are increasing. You have some of the violent settler movements. So they are nationalistic and they are religious, and they've attacked Palestinians. It's unjustified. It's absolutely wrong. It must be opposed. It must be stopped. And some of them have attacked churches and things like that. So it's ugly. It's wrong. It's anti-Israel. It is anti the spirit of Israel. And as a friend of Israel, I say this. Where Israel does wrong, I say it. It's not hard for me to do that. So here's what happens now. It's become enough of an issue that the president of Israel, so he's not the prime minister, he doesn't run the country, but it's a very high figurehead position. There is a lot of weight that it carries. So it's figurehead in terms of governmental authority, but carries a lot of weight. So here's a report, August 9th. JNS, Jewish News Service, Israeli President Isaac Herzog on Wednesday condemned recent hate crimes against Christians in the Holy Land and pledged to uproot the phenomenon. Herzog's remarks came after a spate of attacks against Christians by Jewish extremists and follow a meeting. Now, this is Jewish reporting on this, calling them Jewish extremists, and follow a meeting the Jerusalem police chief held with Christian leaders in the capital to discuss security and cooperation, say, hey, come and meet with us and talk, because we're not happy with this. Quote, this is Herzog during a visit to the Stella Maris Monastery in Haifa, which had been targeted by several attacks. Quote, we must respect the members of all religions. We have committed to do this since the dawn of our existence. This is the most basic commandment of love your neighbor as yourself. That is the official stance of the president and the nation. Extremists must be called out. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. I'm always thrilled to offer a new product from Trivita that is science-supported with equivalent doses per serving that follows the science. And that is true of our KSM 66 Ashwagandha with its protective process from farm to manufacturing plant. The KSM 66 has 24 published gold standard clinical trials in reducing stress, enhancing sleep, and increased vitality. In a recent Harris poll, 87% of Americans feel stressed. I know the effects of chronic stress. It happened to me a number of years ago, and I will never forget when the physician said, Michael, you must change the way you think about life and health, or you will have no quality of life, and you will die a premature death. Now, I can assure you Ashwagandha KSM 66 is in my daily diet. Trivita has a special offer of Ashwagandha for you as listeners to The Line of Fire. If you buy one at $19.99, you will get one free. Plus, you'll receive your free new digital book, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You, by Dr. Brown, with your order. The message of Dr. Brown in this book, it rings clear in spiritual clarity. Dr. Michael Brown shares his own story of his journey to wellness, along with his wife, Nancy, and they reveal 10 most important steps to a lasting life transformation. Whole body wellness is not a pipe dream. It is God's dream for you.
To order, call 1-800-771-5584. Use promo code KSM66 and receive one bottle at $19.99 and get one free, along with your free digital copy of Healthy You. Or go to TRIVITA.com and use promo code KSM66. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. I'm going to the phone shortly, so if you want to get in, this is a great time to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, I told you yesterday that before the show, I was talking to two brothers that I had met while ministering here in Idaho at this leaders conference, and I'm preaching to them about healthy living, healthy diet, and all of that, and diets don't work, got to transform your life and your relationship to food. And just before radio now, literally right before radio, was meeting with another brother, a pastor, and he said, I read your book, you know, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, and I said, obviously respond, it didn't work. And I said, look, I know it's hard. It's very hard to change your lifestyle. It took me 59 years to get it right. People say, Dr. Brown, you're so disciplined. Well, it took me 59 years. How disciplined is that to get this right? So Nancy and I have written a mini book now that with any order with our friends at Trivita, you get as a free digital download. I think it'll really inspire you. I think it could be the fuel to help ignite a healthy lifestyle change. And tell you, forget about dieting, forget about fad diet, this and that. A healthy lifestyle change. You might be thin, right? But unhealthy, you in terms of your lifestyle. You might be very heavy, and it shows even more. But boy, is it worth it taking the steps. So when you call our friends at Trivita and check out the latest special offers, if you're interested in this, 800-771-5584. If you do call, 800-771-5584, be sure to ask with any order at all. You get special discounts, etc. You don't need to tell them it's from me because they know with your number when you call our number. But make sure you ask for the free digital download. Nancy and I really would love to get this book in your hands. That's why we wrote it, to give away free, this mini book. So please ask for it when you order, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, let me finish reading to you what President Herzog said just the last 48 hours in Israel. I view this phenomenon of attacks on Christians, on churches, I view this phenomenon as extreme and unacceptable in any shape or form. This phenomenon needs to be uprooted, and I'm very grateful to the Israel police and the law enforcement agencies for taking this issue seriously. He said, we are committed to the story of the Christian denominations and the Holy Land, a special and unique story which has inspired people around the world, and not without reason, because here in the Holy Land, the three great monotheistic religions emerged, and we must do everything so that the common life continues together. The article says the hate crimes are an aberration in the only state in the region where the Christian population is steadily growing, while Christians in other countries are persecuted and under religious duress. Herzog said, my message is both internally to all Christians as citizens of Israel and to all the dwellers and worshipers from all over the world. The Christian communities are safe and sound and protected and thriving in the Holy Land. The Israeli police is engaging and an array of activities to eradicate the incidents and trends that affect the sense of security for all of us. We are here to reassure you of that and to offer any assistance that may be required. Jerusalem District Police Chief Doron Turgeman said, "We will continue to work to safeguard the peace and security of people of all faiths and denominations. Strengthening cooperation and addressing hate crimes remain top priorities." And there, so the leader, Father Jean Joseph Bergera, the abbot of Stella Maris Monastery, thanked the Israeli police and Haifa Mayor Einat Kalish Rotem, quote, "and everyone who has expressed support not only with words but also with very clear actions against all these phenomena on behalf of all the Christian denominations here in Israel." He said, "We need to work together to encourage our dialogue, our solidarity, and our brotherhood, because we belong to the same country and live in the same places. We want to live together in peace and harmony. Thank you for your cooperation and support. We are all children of the same God." Good for Israeli leadership for doing that. And they need to call out just as clearly where there has been settler violence against the local Palestinian population. They need to call that out just as clearly and decisively. So in Israel, the fact is, if you go to any other Middle Eastern country, the Christians within Israel thrive compared to in the other countries. I mean, the liberties Christians have in Israel, you put that in Saudi Arabia, no, it doesn't happen for a split second. You put that under Hamas in Gaza Strip, it doesn't happen for a split second. You put that in Syria, it doesn't happen for a split second. So the liberties are great, and the Christian communities comparatively are thriving. You say, but what about like in Bethlehem, where Christian communities have gone down so much and they blame Israel and the wall? Now, I blame the Palestinian Authority there, plainly. I blame the Palestinian Authority and the influence of Islam for what's happened to the Christians within Bethlehem. I don't blame the Israeli government for that. And thankfully, the Israeli government is committed to freedom of religion for Muslims, Jews, and Christians. Again, the status of Messianic Jews within society becomes more complex because they're there as Jews and they're followers of Yeshua, the Messiah. But good for Israel doing this. And it is expressive of who Israel is. It is absolutely expressive of who Israel is. And I appreciate that. Now, what happens if the government continues to get more right-wing? Will these liberties persist? I certainly hope so. I believe it's important to the core of Israel's being to act like this and even say this is what Judaism would do. It would be freedom for Christians to be Christians and Muslims to be Muslims. And maybe there'd be more pushback against proselytizing in the future. But Israel's clearly said under Netanyahu that there'll be no law passed against Christians. So no law passed that you can't preach or anything like that. If the nation continues to go more and more right-wing, more and more religious, we shall see where it goes. We shall see. But for right now and for the foreseeable future, well done, and I deeply appreciate that. All right, we go to the phones. Let's start in Burlington, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Line of Fire, Greg. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Dr. Brown, I am so excited to talk to you.
Great.
That's awesome. You told me not to have it on your phone. There, is that better?
If you're talking right in the phone, that's what we need. Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, I am so excited I called on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday because I am very pro-Israel. I've been there many, many times. You were just talking about Bethlehem. You know, sometimes we go to Bethlehem, we just drive right in, and sometimes we get searched. It's, you know, it's a great place. A lot of good Christians there. I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm not sure where to even start, right? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Yeah, we'll start somewhere okay, and we'll go from there. Thank you, Greg.
All right, so you're at a leadership conference. It's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Tell me my first question. And you can shut me off when I'm out of questions. But my first question is, what's the most powerful Torah passage on leadership development, in your opinion?
That's the first time someone asked me that question in that way. So there are many lessons from Torah in terms of growth as a leader, you know, and say what Joseph went through in prison and being raised up and the purging that must have taken place in his own life. But to me, it would be the counsel of Jethro to Moses. So in Exodus 18, and then some of this reiterated in Deuteronomy 1, that Moses, you're going to wear yourself out. That the people come to you day and night with their legal questions and their spiritual questions. They come to you day and night, and they're going to wear you out in the process. And you're not going to be able to lead the nation. So you need to appoint other leaders to carry some of the burden. That, to me, would be the most important passage in the Torah in terms of delegation and doing what God's called you to do most uniquely and empowering others to do what they can do well. And then that ties in with Numbers 11, where God took from the spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders, part of this carrying the burden. But notice that the spirit being shared with the others did not diminish the anointing on his own life. If God's called you and anointed you, and you empower others, it's not going to diminish the anointing and grace in your own life. All right, take a shot at another question on the other side of the break, and then Evan, Dr. Lamont, stay with us. You're next. Hey, friends. Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way, because you believed what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear, testimony after testimony as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together, and with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275, or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. And become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today. AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Shema Israel, Adonai.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Boy, just got this headline sent to me by my colleague Egal, who works in our ministry, professor and Old Testament scholar, and he answers a lot of the Jewish theological questions sent in. It's about Yeshiva University in New York City. Yeshiva University opens MA program for Christians. Fascinating. The course, quote, will break down barriers and promote dialogue between Jews and Christians as we witness people from different faiths sitting with each other, learning about each other's faiths, and recognizing their common humanity. Set in the Bernard Ravel Graduate School of Jewish Studies, the eight members of the first class will study biblical Hebrew, Jewish history, Bible, post-biblical literature, and attend a course on Jewish-Christian relations. Fascinating. Very, very interesting to see that. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. We go back to Greg in Burlington, Pennsylvania. All right, go for it. You got one more question, so give it a good one.
All right, thoroughly Jewish Greg. One thing I did want to tell you is I mailed you a copy of my book, and I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to promote myself on your show. But I did send you a copy of my book, and I would very much appreciate it if you would read it. And it's only 140 pages. So anyway, here's my question.
So let me just say this: I will look for it, and I will look at it. Just to let you know that we have. So it's important, and I know you wrote it as an author. I know how big that is, but just so you don't think I'm being rude. We have maybe a half a room full of stacks of books that I'm asked to look at, so I'll do my best. But don't feel rejected if we don't get right back to you. Okay.
In the history of Christianity, as far as I can tell, nobody's written on what I've written on. So anyway,
got it. All right, I will look for it. Thank you, sir.
All right, Zechariah 10:4.
Yeah,
I can read it if you want me to.
Well, just read it for everyone to hear. Go ahead.
It says, Zechariah 10:4 from the New American Standard Bible, from them will come the cornerstone, speaking of Judah, from them the tent peg, from them the bow of battle, and from them every ruler, all of them together, right?
Yep.
So the cornerstone is a picture of Christ. He refers to himself as the cornerstone, the stone the builder rejected.
Yep.
Do you have an opinion on the imagery of the tent peg?
Not a strong one. I haven't focused on. I'm going through Zechariah again right now, putting together some study notes for it, and I should be into that in the next week. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm looking afresh at a lot of passages in Zechariah, in particular for an emphasis on Messianic prophecy and things like that. So what I will do is between now, God willing, between now and next week's show, which I should be doing live from Colorado, if I'm correct, I will give it more thought, look at some of the rabbinic views, and then give you my answer to that after reflection, okay?
My answer is in my book, The God Picture. And
okay.
if you read it, I would absolutely love to have a conversation with you about it.
All right, got it. So, all right. I appreciate that very much. And appreciate the call and the enthusiasm, man. And I promise
what you're doing, brother. I love
we're going
you.
For it.
The nation of Israel. I'm totally stoked to be part of your community.
Awesome, man. Well, God bless you, Greg. Thank you. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Evan in New York City. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
One second, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's an honor to meet, not meet you, but talk to you, and God bless, of course.
Thank
Before
you.
Before I get to my question, I've been thinking a lot. I'm not Jewish, but I looked at your videos about answering Jewish objections to the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've heard of this organization. Do you know One for Israel?
Sure, of course. Very well.
So they, I'm sure, as you know, they post videos in like Hebrew and Arabic. And as a suggestion, like maybe you'd consider like putting those videos, like giving them to One for Israel to post in Hebrew or with Hebrew subtitles, or maybe something similar for like Muhammad in the Middle East, because they also have Arabic.
No, I very much appreciate that. Just for your info, when One for Israel got started, the leaders asked me, could they take my 5 volumes, break them down in their own words into small Israel Hebrew segments, and use my material to then begin to answer. So they did it in conversational ways. Mm-hmm. Publisher approved it. So that's how it started. A lot of their material borrowed mine, but then they put it. So a lot of stuff is out in Hebrew, but without my name. And then Shelanu TV, which is digital digital for is so it's in Hebrew for Israelis and you know for Arabs as well. So they have a lot of my material, and what they actually do, they have an Israeli brother, Reuven Doron, who basically says we're taking Dr. Brown's material, but it's all him presenting it in Hebrew, so it's without me using captions. And then we have some of this series that has been captioned in Hebrew, as well as some of my videos answering the rabbis like Tovia Singer. We're getting captions in Hebrew for that, and some of them in Russian as well. And I recorded about 26 outreach videos for Sid Roth, who owns Middle East TV, and all of those have Hebrew captions. So so it's not just Hebrew captions, but they're all getting out in Israel. So
yeah,
so thank you for the encouragement.
And I apologize. Like if this,
don't apologize.
Tell you how to do your job.
No, it's a compliment. You feel it's important. No reason. Yeah. All I wanted to tell you was we're with you 1,000,000%. Absolutely, totally with you and doing our best to do this very thing. So thank you for the recommendation. Yes,
sir. And perhaps like a video or two about Muhammad, like for the Middle East, if you have the time.
Got it. All clear.
But regarding my question, I've been speaking to some of my Jewish friends, and a lot of them seem to claim that the gospel was like messianic prophecies were edited to make it look like Christ was the Messiah. Is that like, what's your take on that?
Well, that's the claim, but of course it's totally false. Number one, how do you edit something to speak of someone's resurrection from the dead? How do you make that happen? Or prophecies that say he'd be rejected by his own people but become a light of the nations and followed all around the world. How do you edit something to make that happen, right? In other words, God has to do it for that even to happen. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that all you have to do is go back and look at the prophecies. In other words, okay, tell them, read it in your Hebrew Bible. Read Isaiah 53 in your Hebrew Bible. Who's that sound like? Who's that talking about? Nobody's editing it. Read it right out of your Hebrew Bible. Read Zechariah 12 right out of your Hebrew Bible. Look at the words, in verse 10. And look at the they. Who is the they? The they, the they. Who is it that they pierced? Who are they mourning over? You know, who is that? Psalm 22, a psalm of David and his suffering, but who does it prefigure? So read it in your Hebrew Bible and tell me who that sounds like. And just go through prophecy after prophecy like that. Now, what will happen in the New Testament is they have insight into the meaning of it, right? And that's what they're pointing out. In other words, after the fact, you look back, it's like, oh, you know the thing, hindsight is 20/20. So you're watching a sports event and you're not seeing what you're... Let's say it's a boxing match. You're not noticing the guy keeps dropping his left hand. He keeps dropping, and then suddenly he gets knocked out. Seems to be out of the blue. Right hand knocked him out. But then you go back and watch. You're like, ah, now I see it. It's been clear from round one. He was letting his hand down when he threw this punch. So you go back and read the Hebrew Bible after Jesus rose from the dead. It's like, how did we miss this? How did we not see this? We were going to reject him. He was going to suffer a criminal's death. He was going to rise from the dead. It's all there. Now, here's the other thing that your friends probably don't know, is that the New Testament is first century Jewish literature. And most of it must be interpreted against that backdrop. Now, when Paul's writing to the Corinthians, obviously there's a Greek background and things like that. But when Matthew's writing, he's writing as a first century Jew. And he's writing in ways that are rabbinic. In other words, that the same patterns that you see in Jewish thought and Jewish writings, in the Talmud, in the Midrash, you find here in the New Testament. So the rabbinic writings are constantly pulling out parts of verses, words, and finding meaning in them. So, for example, in Matthew 2, Matthew quotes from Hosea 11:1, out of Egypt I called my son, right? Mm-hmm. And so you know the story that Yeshua and his Joseph and Miriam go down into Egypt, and then when it's safe for them to come back, angel of the Lord says, go back, and that fulfills the prophecy, out of Egypt I've called my son. Well, hang on. Matthew just pulled that out of context. Matthew just twisted it. Matthew did what your friends are accusing of. He's rewriting it to make it into a prophecy, whereas if you go back to Hosea 11:1, it says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son, but the more I called, the more he rebelled. It's about Israel in ancient Egypt, 1,500 years or 1,300 years before the time of Jesus, and it's about Israel's rebellion and idolatry. It's not a prophecy. Yeah, Matthew knows that, and his readers know that. They know the verse by heart, presumably. No surprise. Anyone can look it up if they don't know it in the synagogue or ask someone who knows it by heart. He's saying, just as it happened to Israel, God's son, B'ni B'chori Israel. Israel's my son, my firstborn. Just as it happened to Israel in Egypt in its infancy, and Israel was God's son called out of Egypt, the exact same thing happens to the Messiah, God's greater son. The parallel between as it happened to Israel, it happened to the Messiah. As it happened to David, it happened to the Messiah. This is exactly the type of stuff you'd find in Jewish literature of the first few centuries. So Matthew is reading the Hebrew Bible like a first century Jew, but in light of the Messiah coming into the world. Volume 4 of my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, takes on all these different questions, and it is some of the things that I cover in the different videos. Check out realmessiah.com, realmessiah.com. I think you'll find that helpful. God bless you, Evan.
Are you stressed and searching for a natural way to restore balance in your life? Look no further. Introducing Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66, nature's science-supported secret to inner harmony and well-being. I'm Dr. Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita. I want you to know that Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66 is not just ashwagandha. Ashwagandha KSM-66 undergoes a rigorous formulation process and has 22 gold standard clinical trials. Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66 adaptogenic properties assist your body in adapting to stress, reducing fatigue, and restoring your natural balance. Ashwagandha's KSM-66 is shown to support cognitive function, mental clarity, and focus, and is shown to promote deep and restful sleep, so you can wake up feeling rejuvenated and ready to take on the day. Trivita has a special offer for you, the listeners of Dr. Brown's Line of Fire broadcast. Buy one 30-day supply of Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66, and you will receive an additional 30-day supply for free. Plus, you will receive a free digital copy of Dr. Brown's new book, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You. Don't wait any longer. Join countless others who have discovered the benefits of Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66.
To order, call 1-800-771-5584. Use promo code KSM-66 and receive one bottle at $19.99 and get one free, along with your free digital copy of Healthy You. Or go to trivita.com and use promo code KSM66. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, so blessed to have this time with you. before we get right back to the phones, so Nick Fuentes, rightly called white supremacist, came to national prominence when he had dinner as a guest of Kanye West with President Trump last year. End of last year, President Trump said, I had no idea who the guy was. Kanye West said President Trump was really impressed with him. God knows. God knows what happened. In any case, we talked about that previously. I played a clip from him, really ugly clip, denounced it publicly. His clip got a lot of attention in the Jewish world and wider. So then we pulled that from the show and just put it out as a separate video. So that's gotten a lot more attention. We're just a short 4-minute video. But what's really striking is some of the responses to it. And let's just see here. He's calling for a Christian holy war in the end. Quote, we are going to win, and they mean Jews, others who oppose, are going to die. I mean, vile stuff, dangerous stuff. May the Lord bring Nick to repentance and salvation. But here are some of the responses to it on our YouTube channel. Of course, we pulled these because he's talking about Jews dying in a holy war, so that they will lead. So that's not going to stay on our channel. America's a Christian nation. I agree with Nick. Nick's show brought me back to Christ and to his church. Without Nick, I would have been lost in the fog of agnosticism. God bless Nick and America first. I love everyone, but some beliefs are not to be tolerated, meaning Jewish beliefs. Tolerance is not a Christian virtue. Wait, is being a stranglehold to people who deny Jesus Christ's divinity a good thing for America? Stop playing the victim, Michael. He's talking about the fake Jews of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3. Snap out of the witchcraft, peace. Dr. Brown is a vicious anti-white Jewish supremacist. Jews deserve all they get for the war on whites they started. We support Nick Fuentes against the synagogue of Satan. This country should be governed by confessors of Christ, not by blasphemers. Christ is king, America first. This is supporting all comments posted supporting this vile white supremacist anti-Semitism. What's really striking, and I've said this many times, is that supremacist groups like Black Hebrew Israelites on the one side, white supremacist groups on the other. So black supremacists among radical Hebrew Israelites. I know not all Hebrew Israelites do this, but black supremacists among radical Hebrew Israelites, white supremacists, they have in common their hatred of Jews and even calling us fake Jews. It's quite enlightening. All right, let us go over to Dr. Lamont in Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. Thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Michael Brown, and it's a pleasure being on your broadcast.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to be very brief. Can you hear me? I hear some...
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, very good. By way of testimony, and I'm glad you brought that information up about the guy Fuentes.
Yeah.
I recently made a video that is gaining traction, and it converted three Jews. It brought three Jews to Christ that I just didn't believe it was possible. And the title of the video is, Everyone Wants to Be a Hebrew Until the Holocaust.
Mm.
And it's on YouTube. And my YouTube handle is Deep Thought Now.
Okay.
It debunks the revelation, the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah, yeah.
And it debunks every theory against Israel. And the deep thing is, I've had no pushback because you can't push back on this. Not that I'm raising myself, but it is a must. And in these last days, it is given clear empirical evidence who the land belongs to, who are the Jews that God is talking about, and all the other destructive heresies that come with it. I give a historical narrative, and it's really catching fire. To the extent, I don't believe I can go to the homeland unprotected right now.
All right, so hang on. So everyone wants to be a Hebrew?
Everyone wants to be a Hebrew until the Holocaust.
Okay, I got it. I got it. I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally debunked. I actually shout you out and other Jewish supporters out. And the key thing is when the Bible said, I'll bless those that bless them and I'll curse those that curse them.
Yeah.
Just really quick, my sister tried to commit, I would say, suicide 5 times this year because she's on dialysis. And every time I've seen her, she lives above me. She says, Lamont, I'm done. I'm not going back. So that's like, if you don't have 3 days of dialysis, you die.
Mm.
Well, I told the Lord that I'm going to do this video. It's been in my heart for 2 years, but I said, now I'm going to do it. And, I just told the Lord in my casual way, well, you know, the only thing I need is for you to bless my sister. Right after I did the video, the Lord is my witness. Temple Hospital called my sister 2:30 in the morning and said, Sarah, come get your kidney.
Are you serious?
Sarah, come get your kidney. Moreover, I'm an educator. I needed some money for my school. I have an adult education program. That same day, I received a $30,000 grant. The same day, everybody wants to be a Hebrew until the Holocaust. It vindicates the Jews. You cannot be a Christian and come against the Jews. It's an impossibility.
You know, first, I rejoice for your sister and the whole story. You know, just praise God for his goodness and intervention. And if I was in your shoes, I would absolutely see this as divine confirmation for me doing the right thing. You know, when I had the debate with Guerrilla Hebrew, it is one of the points that I made. Is that I didn't see anybody on the streets during the Holocaust yelling, oh, we're the real Jews. Come on, we're the real Hebrews. We're the real Jews. So I certainly recognize that there is some Israelite Jewish blood among certain African Americans and people in Africa. I'm not denying that, and said for years, they're black Jews, white Jews. We come in all colors and stripes. And the original Israelites weren't white, so get to say all that, but the whole idea, you know, one way that you can trace Jews through history is it hasn't been popular to be Jewish, you know? It'd be like during the days of slavery to someone come out to say, well, enslave me. Go ahead and enslave me. No, nobody would do that. So Jews have suffered as being Jews, and that's part of the way you can trace our history. Like, we've been kicked out here, we've been hated here, because we were Jews and we didn't go along with this or with this or with that. And the whole idea of we're the real Israelite, we're the real Hebrews, we're the real Jews. Now, again, some, they do have a heritage that goes back, but just the general proclamation, or you get these white supremacists with Christian identity, we're the real Israel. Well, nobody's shouting that out when the Holocaust comes. So I'm just meeting you over the phone. I haven't seen the video, but I love the title. I absolutely love the title.
Dr. Brown, thank you. I heard you tell the other call, I believe his name was Greg, that you're busy and you can't get to this, but God is my witness. Everything you're saying, it debunks it. One of the questions was the 9th of Av.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Why is it on the 9th of Av something very draconian happened to the Jews and nobody is saying we're the Jews? Why is it when Hitler was persecuting the Jews, nobody was saying, hey, they're not the Jews, we're the Jews? Why is it when a Palestinian commit jihad and fatwa against the Jews, they don't go to the black Israelites? So that video Israel. I'm not trying to gain notoriety or anything like that. I was just born with a burden on my heart for Israel.
Well, you know what? Let me just say this, I'm only jumping in because time is short as we come to the end of the hour. So I'm looking at the video. I pulled it up in front of me. I can't watch it right now, obviously. But so you're an African American brother, right?
I'm African American.
Right. The reason I said it is because for whatever reason, when I first started going to visiting Black Pentecostal churches with a Black friend of mine from college, I found this tremendous sense of, it's an unusual sense of solidarity that I felt. So not just the solidarity you have with being a brothers and sisters, but I felt there's something like there's a soul, there's kind of a, we're both people that come through suffering, we're both peoples that were freed slaves, that have often been a despised minority, and you get something. It's just like, you know, a guy that's raised in the suburbs who's wealthy, it's hard for him to sing the blues the way someone from Mississippi sang the blues. You know, it's just, there's certain things that are, they're in your blood. So I always felt that, and when I had a confrontation, sir, with Hebrew Israelites in the streets of New York City in the early 1990s, and they were shouting, death to the white man, death to America, the crowd, I said, we're going to need each other. We're going to be at the bottom of the barrel one day, and we're going to need each other. So let us come together for God's purposes, and yes, for the true Israel. I'm going to do my best to try to watch that video. God bless you, friends.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.